Amen. Greetings, church. Small reminder that you are the church. The place that we are standing in here in this study, in this building, this is not the church. You are the church. And so whenever we say greetings to you, the church, we mean that. That is directly from the Word of God, that it speaks of us, the people of God, as the very body and church of Christ. So I pray that that is resounding in your heart today, as even though we are far from each other perhaps, that today that you are understanding yourself as the body of Christ. Today we're going to continue our study about waiting upon, looking at Isaiah chapter 40. And if you would do that with me, you could again turn to chapter 40. And we're going to read a portion of that. We're going to be looking specifically today at verses 3 through 11. But we're going to read down 1 through 11 right now. So let's do this. Chapter 40, God's people comforted. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and announce to her that her time of hard service is over. Her iniquity has been pardoned, and she has received from the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. A voice of one crying out, prepare the way of the Lord in the wilderness. Make a straight highway for our God in the desert. Every valley will be lifted up. Every mountain and hill will be leveled. And the uneven ground will become smooth and rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will appear and all humanity together will see it. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice was saying, cry out. Another said, what should we cry out? All humanity is grass, and all that is goodness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, when the breath of the Lord blows upon them. Indeed, the people are grass. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God remains forever. Zion, herald of good news, go up on a high mountain. Jerusalem, herald of good news, raise up your voice loudly. Raise it, do not be afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. See, the Lord God comes with strength, and his power establishes his rule. His wages are with him, and his reward accompanies him. He protects his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them in the fold of his garment. He gently leads those that are nursing. All right. Father God, we do pray over your word today that you will make it strong in our hearts, that it will resound, that it will resonate, and it will stir us, Lord God, that we, as we see you, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, our Lord, our God, our only salvation, exalt you this day, that we center ourselves upon you, and not just for today, but for these days and years to come. Lord, we pray that you will come. We pray that you will comfort your people. And we pray, Lord God, in all these things, that your great glory will be poured forth and be seen and be known by us today. Reveal yourself to us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So, we look upon a few different things in throughout the chapter 40, and one of them is comfort. We saw that in the very first message, as well as the first words of chapter 40. The second part we're going to talk about today is Messiah, waiting upon Messiah. We'll continue on in the weeks to come about sovereignty and waiting on strength, renewal, and empowerment. But the waiting, we have to remind ourselves, is not just wishful thoughts or desires. We talked about this last week. Our hope is a certain hope. Our hope is one that we can latch onto and know that God in his faithfulness is coming through. When he says it, he will do it. And if nothing else that you take away from today, that one line in chapter 40 where it says the flowers fade, the grass withers, but the word of the Lord remains. He is faithful. And as he speaks it, it is good. Now, we know that when we're talking about the waiting on Messiah, sometimes this seems like it is an all-encompassing, enduring, and lengthy waiting that we are going through. You can speak that to the apostles as well. For they were looking even before Jesus left this earth. They were waiting, wanting to know, when was he coming back? You know, and we'll look at Matthew chapter 24 a little bit and their question of that. But I want you to understand that when we are talking about this prophecy of the Messiah coming, this was a complex prophecy that was going forth. As this mountain range, as you can see behind me, you can see that there's folds and there's levels of viewing. And, you know, up here, we're talking about this is where Isaiah is actually speaking from, right? 700 BC, 700 something BC. And he's speaking to the people of Israel before they would even go, we'll say the second level is, before they even go into Babylon. They're about to be taken captive, and the people of Judah were going to be taken away. And he's looking past that, and he's looking to this time when, and he's been talking to them now for 39 chapters about how God is going to show himself and bring them away to captivity. But he's looking beyond that even. And perhaps he's speaking to these people in that level. And he's saying, listen, you people who are in Babylonian captivity, your 70 years is coming to an end. What are you going to wait for? What are you looking for? And it's that Messiah. It's that Savior figure. It's that salvation of God's people. How will that show up? You better believe it. They were asking that question. And Isaiah, way back here in 700 AD, was looking 100 years into the future and saying, this is what you're going to be asking. Where is the Messiah? But we know that there's even more complexity to that as well. Because in Malachi chapter 3, verse 1, in Mark chapter 1, I think it's 2 and 3 and 4, and that those verses, we see that this is also referring to the coming of the Messiah to this earth. Not just simply a salvation out of Babylon, but beyond that. Behold, one crying in the wilderness, another fold of this prophecy that he looks beyond. Can we look in further beyond that? Can we look at another fold? Because this has to do with us today. I'll bet you, in all the news that is going out, in all this COVID season, in all that we watched George Floyd being kneed to death on the ground this past couple weeks, we see the rioting, we see all this craziness going on all around us. We have to be asking ourselves, Lord, when would you come? Well, I believe that this speaks to that as well. Because Jesus did not just come once. Certainly he gave his life once for all at the cross. But he says himself that he is coming back through the clouds. And he is going to come and restore his kingdom one day. And so we look at the history of the Messiah figure. Here's Abraham, and as he's looking up to the stars, and as God is speaking to his heart, and he says, this is my covenant with you. This is my promise to you. This is my faithful word to you that, you know, when I say that you're going to be the father of a great nation, that your nation will number the stars in the heavens. When he says that, he is faithful and true to follow it through. And so we look at Abraham and this the proclamation. We can look at a man further down the line and look at the Davidic covenant, the promise to David, the king, and how he would be the king that would, his line would go all the way to the Messiah. It would be a kingdom that would a line of kingdom, that is, that would reign forever and ever. What does that mean? It was speaking of the Messiah. The Messiah and the knowledge of Messiah was well ingrained in the mind and the heart of the people of Israel and the people of Judah. And so when Isaiah later on in this book starts speaking of this suffering servant, he starts speaking of the various ways in which the Messiah figure is going to be showing up. You better believe it. Those people are saying, when, Lord? When will it come? Because I am ready. We are anticipating. And so we look at Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3 through 8, and it speaks very clearly to a waiting. That is for us to prepare our hearts for him. Let's look at this again, and specifically starting with verse 3. a voice of one crying out, prepare the way of the Lord in the wilderness, make a straight highway for our God in the desert. Now, what is he asking us to do? He's asking us to prepare our very hearts. He is saying, okay, of course this is speaking of John the Baptist, we know this later on, but what are the people who are hearing this in Isaiah's time hearing? What are the people coming out of the Babylonian captivity hearing? What should we be hearing when we hear that a voice of one crying out? What is he crying out to us? What is Isaiah's voice calling out to us? Prepare the way of the Lord in the wilderness. Make straight a highway for our God. Okay, so in Matthew chapter 24, we see that Jesus is speaking to his disciples and they're asking, Lord, when will you come back? When is this all going to take place? Because he's been talking to them a bit about having to go away and having to come back and to bring them all into glory. And they don't have full understanding, and nor do we, by the way. And the apostles are asking the question, so when, why, how, all the things. And Jesus is like, wait a minute, hold on. I've got a little bit of a clue for you, but I'm not going to give it all away because the time is not for yours to know. It's not even for me to know, Jesus says. Only the Father knows the exact time and place and exactly how it's going to happen. And so this is the words that he kind of brings together. He says, this is why you also must be ready, because the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. We look around ourselves and we see, as chapter 24 of Matthew talks about, it says that there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. There's going to be famines. There's going to be earthquakes. And then Jesus says this, you think that's pretty bad, but this is the beginning of birth pains. Now, we could say, man, we've seen wars and rumors of wars these days. We've seen famines and we've seen earthquakes even presently. So let me share with you, I pulled this off just this morning even, about history that is being made on this date in March 31st throughout world history. Just three little things that I mentioned to you. There's one battle, May 31st in 1916, the Battle of Jutland, wars and rumors of wars, you want to talk about that? On this day in 1916, 8,645 seamen were destroyed in a great battle that had no conclusion. It brought no victory on one side or the other between the British and the Germans in World War I. 8,600 plus souls were sent to the depths. And this date, in 1935, a 7.7 magnitude earthquake hits Pakistan. And get this, 50,000 people died in that day. 1935. I could give you another one I wasn't going to mention, but 1947 on this very day is when the communists seize power over Hungary. You talk about death and destruction that comes by that. An entire generation of people that are laid low. But in 1970, a little bit closer to date, I'm almost born at this point, 7.75 earthquake. A 7.75 earthquake goes off of the coast of Peru and kills 66 to 70,000 people. And then it sets off one of the world's deadliest avalanches ever to be experienced by our Earth. Wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, we could add famines to that, takeovers. The world has seen, now that's just within our previous century. The world has seen much of wars and rumors of wars. And at each of these times, like we talked about last time, comfort, oh comfort my people, that is being cried out. And I say to you today, again, the world has seen since the earliest days of Christianity, the call, Lord, when will you return? When will the Messiah come? from the earliest times when the Israelites were being under the thumb of many, many different regimes, like including the Babylonians, the Persians, including the Romans later on. Each one of these times, they are looking for the Messiah, and they have to wait. And Jesus, once again, there speaking to his apostles, he says, it's not yours to know. It's your time to wait. And believe me, when the 70 AD happens and the temple gets destroyed, the same question was asked. Lord, when will you come? When will your Messiah come? For those who are Jewish, they are certainly devastated and wondering when the first, they don't know that the Messiah has come. But those who were believers in Christ at that time, they're looking and saying, this must be the end of the world. How can we survive this? And so, the world and humanity will fail you, but the great and faithful word and glory of God will endure forever. If we can take any solace, is that verse right there in verse 8. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of our God remains forever. Faithful God, let's worship him today. Let's know him in the deepest part. And yes, let's seek him. As we are called to prepare our hearts, I would ask that you even now stop and ask yourself, is your heart prepared? Prepare your heart today to know God in a deeper, deeper way. All right, so we start out by talking about prepare the way of the Lord and make way, a highway in the wilderness. We could see how that pertains to John the Baptist being out there in the wilderness proclaiming the greatness of our God and drawing people into repentance. We can also see how that pertains to our lives as we prepare our hearts to know him and to usher the very graces of God through our lives into the lives of others so that we may be, as we talked about last week, comfort to the people, comfort to those in need, comfort to the greatest needs on this earth, which are given to the Christians to be the hands and feet of Christ, to running to those needs, to be very Jesus's voice and his hands in the lives of others. So as we prepare our hearts, we'll see that there are other things here that this small piece of scripture calls us to. And the next part is that he calls us to behold him. Now, there's two different parts. I'll just tell you the two parts that kind of flux together in Isaiah chapter 40 at this point, in verses 9 and 10, and they're following up into 11. It is both the beholding of him as well as the proclamation of him. And so we see that a voice is saying, cry out. Another said, watch, should we cry out? All humanity is grass, and all of its goodness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fade when the breath of the Lord blows on them. Indeed, people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Zion, herald, this is verse 9 now. Zion, herald of good news. Go up on a high mountain. Jerusalem, herald of good news, raise it and do not be afraid. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. Now, how is God displayed? He is displayed through his might, through his faithfulness, through his enduring kindness towards us. And we'll see these kind of carried out throughout the rest of this piece of scripture. God is beheld by our very eyes, looking to him, seeking him out, and knowing him. And I would speak to those of you who have not tasted and seen the greatness of our God. Jerusalem cries out, and that is God's people cry out, this is your God. Look at the very lives that we live, at the very graces that we live in our lives, and that are poured through our lives. Look at this, because this is God in us. Do you behold God today as one of in love, in affection towards him? Has he grown deeper in you in these past weeks? And perhaps, you know, it's been difficult because now 2 months in following and more than that, we have been isolated. We have been in this very difficult and different time. But have you, in the process, prepared your heart? Have you sought him? And have you found him? And Isaiah is making no bones about it. This is the call to God's people, to prepare a way for God, to behold him in all of his greatness and his glory. You see, as he references here in verses 6 and 7, and he keeps on coming back to the grass withering, the flowers fading, this earth and all that is within it is going to disappoint. It's going to be carried away. It's like chaff which is blown away, right? But the faithful word of our God we have to keep on coming back to. And in that we find the greatness of our God. Scott just led us in a song that talked about show us Christ. But where do we find that? We find it in his word. Are you people of the word? This is the way that we behold him mostly. But it goes hand in hand with the second part of this, where it says to proclaim him. Do you seek him? If you find him, then you must proclaim him. The proclamation of our God. When it says, here is our God at the end of verse 9, verse 10 and 11 say this, see, the Lord God comes with strength, and his power establishes his rule. His wages are with him, and his reward accompanies him. He protects his flock like a shepherd and gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them in the fold of his garments. He gently leads those that are nursing. You know, I want to take us back to Matthew chapter 24 and hear the apostles again. For those maybe just joining us, they've asked the question, Lord, when will you be coming back? Yeah, when will this great kingdom of yours take place? And Jesus' response is varied and is at great length here throughout chapter 24. I suggest you going back and reading that in its entirety to understand the context and all that he's saying here. But I want you to look at this as far as proclamation. Many false prophets will rise up and deceive many because lawlessness will multiply and love of many will grow cold, but the one who endures the end will be saved. This good news of the kingdom will be proclaimed in all the world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. You see how beholding him and proclamation are hand in hand. Like the FBI agent who knows the counterfeit bill when he sees it. We must know the right, the real Jesus, the real Messiah. We must behold him in his truth and forsake all the antichrists, all the those that are not, they're posing as him, but are not, right? And he says, many will come in those final days and they will prop themselves up as being the Messiah. Don't listen to them. Keep on moving. Don't look at what they're saying, but know Jesus in his truth. Know him, behold him, seek him out with all your life so that you may be proclaimers of this great truth, this great God. If you don't know him, if you haven't sought him out, then you cannot proclaim him. And then proclamation is great and it's mighty. First of all, this whole scripture is filled with proclamation. Isaiah's proclamation that the word of God is faithful to the end and will not change, even though everything else fades and withers, it will stay. The proclamation of here is your God, look, behold, he's right here in front of you. He wants to have you as his, right? And the proclamation, as we look down 10 and 11, see the Lord God comes with strength and with power, and there's so much here to proclaim. The greatness of our God is there to proclaim, and until it happens, Matthew 24 says, until it happens, until all the nations hear of the greatness of this God, the end will not come. So we're looking for the answers. Lord, when will you come? And he says, you know, when my people are prepared, and they're preparing the way, and their hearts are prepared for me, when they behold me and they seek me out as though they're seeking out gold and silver and precious stones, and when we are seeking him and diving deep to find out the person of God in this, when we behold him with everything that he is, then, and when we proclaim it to the ends of the earth, then the end will come. Did you see that happening yet? I see that there are attempts at that, but I know that there are so many unreached people groups throughout our world. Maybe you're not aware of that. Maybe you're not aware that there are hundreds of people groups that have not heard of Jesus. And now that number's growing less and less. Bible projects and translation projects are doing a great job, and we sometimes hear about those. Let me tell you, there are so many that still have not heard the greatness of our God. And so we must proclaim. What is it that we proclaim? We proclaim his strength. We proclaim his rule. We proclaim his protection. And we proclaim his gentleness. Those are the things that we see here in chapter 40, verse 10 and 11 of Isaiah. See, the Lord comes in strength. What do we behold? Behold, here is your God. But what do we see? See, the Lord God comes in strength. He is not weary, we're going to see later on. He does not grow restless, nor does he grow weary in doing much. His arms are plenty big to hold the universe. See, the Lord God comes with strength. And his power establishes rule. My friends, we ought not to be concerned so much with the rule of this world. That is, now understand what I'm saying. We should not be concerned with whether we are being ruled well or unwell. We see in Romans 13, of course, that we are to be subject. But understand, ultimately, the reason why we are subject is because of the great sovereignty of our God. He has all this in his hand. In the midst of earthquake, in the midst of famine, in the midst of unrest across this world, in the midst of COVID-19, the sovereignty of our God, it is his rule that is established, and he puts up the people that will carry out his great word in his great way. And so we must rest in that, in our waiting, in our preparation for him, in our beholding and our seeking out of him, we must also proclaim he is God. Now, we proclaim that in different ways, don't we? Some of us proclaim that just in word of mouth. But word of mouth without the behavior following with it is pretty lame. It doesn't really work together, right? It doesn't work for people, because if they see us proclaiming something and not living it out, then it falls on deaf ears. But we must be people who not just say, hey, God is in control. We must live that out and say, you know what? My rest is in him. And I am desiring to fall more and more deeply into his hands, to rest in him. And so let your proclamation be with your lives. Let your proclamation be with your gentleness and with your continued seeking of him. Let that be the way that we proclaim who our God is. And then he has this bit here about the protection. He protects his flock like a shepherd. Now, we've talked even recently about Psalm 23 and the greatness of our good shepherd. And we've seen how God and his greatness still, and in his incredible presence, he's still there for the single lamb. He would leave the 99 to reach out and carry away the one and go for that one that has wandered and strayed. We see the God in his protection of his people. Now, understand, if this is being heard of people, in the ears of people who have been abandoned, they think, in Babylon for 70 years, this sounds different. It sounds strange. But Isaiah, looking beyond the folds of history is speaking. He's like, let it never be misunderstood that his word is faithful and he has never given up on you. That's a great word for us today. We may feel abandoned. We may feel ostracized. We may feel in days to come, heavy persecution may fall upon our church here in America. But know that we are number one. We're not the first to go through that. That God has shown himself faithful through the ages to the persecuted church. Even to this day, the persecuted church is languishing in prisons and even unto death. And yet God is faithful. Just because we don't see it, maybe we feel God is, you know, works differently. But no, tens of thousands of people losing their lives in our present day because of their claim and their proclamation of Jesus Christ as their Lord. When that persecution comes, let us not waver in knowing the greatness of our God and that he protects us, his flock like a shepherd. And he gathers us as lambs in his arms. And he carries them into the fold of his garment. And finally, that it is his gentleness. It is his calm. It is his loving kindness towards us. That draws us to repentance. We saw that last week. But also that carries us and comforts us. Comfort, oh comfort my people. So Isaiah has spent now 39 chapters bringing ominous word to the people previous to this chapter. He has brought forth the word of the Lord that has said, listen, your ways must change. You must come to understand who I am and you must live your lives differently. Now in chapter 40, he says, the deed has been done and God's grace is enough. And his attention towards you is still the great shepherd. And it's like Isaiah calling back to the king way back when, hundreds of years prior in King David, and saying, don't you remember? The Lord is my shepherd, you shall not want. And he says in the same way, people, don't feel like you're abandoned. God still cares for you, still loves you. His strength of his hand is still towards you. And like a shepherd, he will take you, Israel. He'll take you, Judah. He'll take you, Church of God. He'll comfort you in his arm. He'll hold you in the fold of his garment. And he will declare his gentle, loving kindness upon you. And so I pray that today, that we ask ourselves, what is the Lord asking me in my time of waiting? Where am I in the preparation of my heart? I know that there are youthful ones among us that say, I just have so much to do in my life before the Lord should return. And I know that we have thoughts like that. But in your waiting, whether he comes tonight or he comes 100 years from now after our lives are over, what is intimate to you right now is, how are you in the waiting? How are you preparing your heart for him? Are you making straight the paths? Are you allowing the Spirit of God to clear out the clutter? How are you in beholding him and seeking him out and seeing the greatness of our God in the midst of all that we are going through? Do you see God? Are you seeking him out? And how are you proclaiming the greatness of our God? Because he is great. If nothing else, we should just gush forth when it comes to speaking about our great bridegroom. The wonders of his gentle touch. The excellencies of his favor towards us. Let's pray. Our God in heaven, our God here near to us, we thank you for your great loving kindness and tenderness towards us. We thank you for the shepherding. We thank you, Lord God, that you see us and where we are, and that You perform mighty acts right in front of us to show your great glory. Lord, we thank you for healings. We thank you for using spiritual gifts within people, within the church. We thank you, Lord God, for the way that you are just spilling yourself out of us into our neighborhoods, and how this time, this season, in these past months, Lord God, has given the Church of God such an ample opportunity to show forth your great glory. Let us proclaim you clearly. Let us proclaim you with just the greatest of love for you, Lord God, and the greatest of love for our neighbors. We pray this in your name and by your power. Amen.